My wife and I have had quite an experience. We headed and was going to head home, but tornadoes went through Georgia and Tennessee. You probably heard about that. Because by the time they were going through, you guys were getting bombarded with a snowstorm. And some of you got 8 to 11 inches or whatever, so that held us up a day. But we are home. Both of us have come down with a southern viral virus of flu. I'm getting over it, little by little. My wife has it now, and so she's home. And while I was gone, I hear Bud had a stent put in. Bonnie sprained her knee really bad. Lloyd was still in a lot of pressure and pain with his fingers. And Dina had a stroke and is down in hospice down in Shalott. And she's doing better. Room 421. And I know she'd appreciate a card. Her speech is still a little bit hard to understand, but she's getting better. So we praise God for that. What about this young lady that broke up with her boyfriend? Reason being, he wanted to get married and she didn't want him to. Point is that you and I are God's bride. We're the bride of Christ, and you do have an individual who does not want you to be his bride. He's trying his best to break up your relationship with Jesus, the Son of God. He works at it diligently in every way, shape, or form to get between you and him, that is Jesus, and to intercept and interwove and to cause a separation to take place so you don't have the joy of your salvation that you should be experiencing each and every day since you become a Christian. So to revive us and to be revived again, I believe, personally, is an ongoing process. It's not something that happens once. It's something that's going on continuously within my individual self. The Bible talks about me being renewed every day, renewed daily. Renew is a renewing. It's a bringing to life. It's an arousement. It's an establishment. That's what the word revive means. It means to make alive. It means to arouse within. It means to establish and to give one, if you will, a activity and a flourishment that renews them in the inner person, mentally, spiritually, and in every way. Back in the Old Testament, you have a king. Came king at 8 years old. 8 years of old. Josiah became king of Israel. And he ruled for 31 years. But in the 18th year of his rule, he called Hilkiah, the high priest, in. For as they had collected monies from the people to restore, to revive, to reestablish, refurbish the temple. And so he instructed him to take that money, hire the builders, and to do exactly that. Reconstruct the building, the house of God. And so they went to work. And in the process of doing that, Hilkiah came and found the book of law. And he read it. And Hilkiah took the book of law to Josiah the king and had it read to Josiah. And when Josiah heard it, he rent his clothes and he just literally tore himself asunder to realize that he and his people were living under the judgment of God because they had not been living up to the law of God. And it broke his heart. It broke his spirit. He repented. He literally broke him in pieces as an individual. And Josiah called all the men of Israel, the prophets, the priests, everyone, all of them to come together into a great assembly. And Josiah had that book of law read to the people. And during the process, Josiah had made a covenant with God. And he pledged himself to God that he would love God with his whole heart, with his whole mind, with his whole being. Does that sound familiar? We've been preaching on love. Because if there's anything that needs to be revived in God's people, it's their love for God and love for one another. That is an ongoing process. Just keep that in mind this morning. Because as it was, as he made that covenant with God, the children of Israel joined in with Josiah, and they themselves made that same covenant that they would become God's people again. They would love God, seek his will, follow his statutes, honor him in every way possible. And the Bible tells us that the nation of Israel was revived. A That's what it says. They came to life again in their relationship with God. And that aspect of it, that's a great story, isn't it? 8 years of age, become a king. At the age of 18, the law of God, Deuteronomy, was read to him. It hit him right where it belonged to hit. It needs to hit us today. I don't think we take sin as serious as we ought to. As we find even in the Old Testament, when Jonah went to Nineveh, and you remember what happened to Nineveh when they heard the word of God, and how they rent their clothes and fasted and pleaded with God. And of course, Jonah didn't like the idea, because he wanted to see Nineveh burn, didn't he? But the point is, they repented. They really did. So when you and I look at revival and the aspects of it, I see its true source has only one source, and the source of any form of spiritual revival has its source from God. God is the one who revives. God is the one who revives. You don't revive yourself. You put yourself into a position where God can revive you. Did you hear that? Okay. Listen to these verses. Psalm 69:32. The humble have seen it and are glad. You who seek God, let your heart revive. Psalms 80:18-19. Revive us, speaking to God, and we will call upon your name, O Lord of hosts. Restore us, cause your face to shine upon us, and we will be saved. They acknowledge God, asking Him to revive them, to restore them, and to save them. In Psalms 85:6, will you not yourself revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Again, they're asking God to revive them, that they might rejoice again in the aspect of their relationship with Him. If you know anything about Psalms 119, which you ought to know, you'll know the whole chapter is about the Word of God. All down through it, it's talking about the laws of God, the statutes of God, the principles of God. Every aspect is all about the Word of God. So listen to these verses that comes out of Psalms 119. Verse 37 says, turn away my eyes from looking at vanity and revive me in your word, in your ways. Well, how am I going to know God's ways if I'm not know what His word says? That makes sense? So, again, though, the psalmist, David, is pleading with God to revive him in God's ways. Verse 40, behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me through your righteousness. Revive me, God. How many of you have any inclination that maybe you need some reviving? Some renewal, some refurbishing, some reestablishment, some excitement, some fire, that little spark that can set a fire, that can change the world, change people's lives. How many of us really understand that? Verse 88, revive me according to your loving kindness so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. Why? Why do I want to revive? So that, God, I can keep your word. I can walk in your ways. Revive me to do that again. How many of us may need that? That we could be revived in such a way that we would be committed to walking in accordance to the word of God. Psalms 119, verse 107. I am exceedingly afflicted. Revive me, O Lord, according to thy word. Psalms 154. Plead my cause and redeem me, or revive me according to your word. Psalms 156. Great are your mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your ordinances. This is all in one chapter. Psalms 138:7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. How many of you have faced so many calamities and trials and struggles in life, and you really needed God to get you through it, to revive you, to establish you, to help you, to keep you steady and steadfast in that aspect of what you were going through? Psalms 143:11. For the sake of thy name, O Lord, revive me. Which I get David's impression is that God was the author and the source of revival, right? But I also find David make a connection between God and His Word as the source of revival. Did you get that? Huh? Did you get that? Did you really get that? Listen to these words from Isaiah, chapter 57, verse 15. For thus says the High and the Exalted One, who lives forever, whose name is holy, I dwell on a high and a holy place, and also with the contrite and the lowly of spirit, in order to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. You understand that God wants to revive us? That it's in the periods when we're lowly and when we're hurting, when we're grieving, when we're dealing with life and pain and struggles and disappointments and whatever, God is there to revive us, to keep us, sustain us during those time frames. That's what He delights in. You understand that? He delights in that. He does. So as I had scripture reading this morning from Psalms 51, and nobody's there this morning, back there, to put it back up before us this morning. But that's okay. Turn to Psalms 51. I want you to look at the keys. There's several little keys here, I believe, that David, who had sinned desperately against God, the sin against God through Bathsheba and killing his husband and all that other stuff. And yet, as Ted said this morning, David was still declared a man after God's own heart. You know when God declared that? It was after he had fallen. Did you know that? It wasn't before, it was after that God declared David was a man of God. In fact, David talks of himself as a deer panting after the streams of living water. So his heart panted for God and having that relationship with Him. But there's several things here. This man who was broken, who had sinned, who understood his sins, recognized his sin, is acknowledging his sin. There's certain things that he declared and asked God to do for him. Right? Right? Notice, if you will, in the first portion of 51, David said, "Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is forever before me. Against you, and you only, I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak and you are blameless when you judge." So what is he doing? What's the first thing he is doing within the conception of revival? Is he's confessing his sins. You know what he's doing? He's openly laying before God the fact that he has sinned, and he has sinned against God, and he has sinned against God only, even though others were affected about it. Sin is a transgression of the law of God. So when one sins, they are sinning against God, period. And therefore, the only one who could forgive us, cleanse and wash us, and make us and put us back on our feet again is the one who is capable and willing in his loving kindness and compassion and his mercy to do what? Forgive us. To forgive us. I don't care what you've done and how bad it's been. God masters in every aspect of forgiveness. He does. He is a forgiving God. He does not treat us according to our iniquities. Remember? Psalms 139. He doesn't treat us according to our sins. Aren't you grateful for that? But when you do sin and you exercise that element of what he asks and shares with us, that we confess it. 1 John 1:8 says that if we say we have no sin, then we lie. And the truth is not in us. So what is he asking for? David's asking for God to blot out his transgression. Now, if you take the word blot, some of you have a marriage license, and engraved in the original is impressed in there is the image of the state of Michigan or whatever state. It's right impressed within the paper, right? All right? And it's really, without destroying the paper, you can't remove that. You know that? But God can. Because the word blot would be that God takes that impression and He wipes the paper clean as if it never was there in the first place. You could never tell there was that impression made into the paper. So when God forgives you and me, He blots out that sin. He removes it as far as the east is from the west. It is gone. It's gone. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities. Isn't that what David said? Cleanse me from my sin. Wash me. I'll be as white as snow. Get it? Some of you are still dealing with guilt that something has happened who knows how long ago. And you've never allowed and never been set free from it. And understood the justifying power of the grace of Almighty God. That when God forgave you, He has forgot it. It is gone. You're a new creature. You've been revived. You're forgiven. Move on. Paul said, this one thing I did, even so he called himself the chief of all sinners, this one thing I do, I forget the things that are behind. You got to do that to be revived. Don't you understand that? It's important. But only God can bury your past, and you've got to let Him do that. You've got to let Him do that. Against you, because against you, and you only have I sinned, get it? Huh? There's so many things you and I can't go back in our lives and overdo what we've done, can we? Can we? But God can still forgive us, and we can still move on in our lives. We can be renewed daily and start an every day knowing that God is in the business of reviving us through His forgiveness. But you got to recognize the sin that may well be in your life that you need to bring before Him and confess it. Because not only that, and key too, is the asking for God to forgive us, okay? Confessing is one thing. Asking God to forgive us is another thing. But to ask God to forgive you of your sin is to confess the sin. Is to identify whatever that sin may be, bring it before the throne of God and acknowledge it with a broken and a contrite heart. Okay, God, if you go down and look at what it says in the 17th verse. 17th verse of 51. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Oh God, You will not despise. That's what God wants. We've all sinned. We all acknowledge that in our lives. And we don't go around and sin isn't something that you and I try to push behind the bush. You can't do it. Something that has to be faced up to, acknowledged, and it needs to recognize it, and we need to confess it to God. And 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins to God, He is good, He is just, He is merciful, and He will cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. Jim Goodwin used the word cleanse one time in the Greek, and it's like a windshield wiper. In other words, the blood of Christ is continually activated within the spiritual body of Christ, and it's continuously cleansing the body from all of its, if you will, sin that you and I are committing. It's continuously doing that. But for it to be acknowledged by God, as far as you're concerned, you have to go before the Father humbled, contrite in your spirit, and ask Him to forgive you. Acknowledging that. Okay? You draw nigh to God. What? He'll draw nigh to you. You see? It's you wanting to have that fellowship with God. And you can't have that fellowship that is there for you to have if you let sin separate you. You remember my illustration? Satan wants you not to be able to have a pure, beautiful relationship with the Creator of the world. He'll do everything He can. And it may well be, as the Hebrew writer said, lay aside that one sin that so easily besets you and run the race. Keeping your eyes fixed upon Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. You ever read that? Okay. The third key to revival is praying for a clean heart and a right spirit. What did David say? What did he ask God to do? 10th verse. Created me a what? You think you can clean up your heart? You think you can take all the trash that's in there and throw it away and just get rid of it? Or you think you have to have someone other than yourself to take whatever it is in your heart and clean it out? That's God's masterwork. That's what God does. God can cleanse your heart and He can create you and give you a new one. He can do that. And He can renew a steadfast spirit within me, as He says. So create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit. What does steadfast mean? Unchanging. Steadfast means my spirit is stable. That's the problem with so many of us today is the instability. We're up spiritually, we're down. Up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. Why? Because maybe we're not humbling ourselves before God and really recognizing our need for being spiritually in tune with Him so that He can renew us and give us a steadfast spirit and remain that. You see, James says a double-minded person is unstable in all the ways, period. Okay? Ezekiel 36, 26 through 27 is my favorite part of the Bible. There God promised in this new dispensation that you and I are part of, God said, moreover, I will give a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will put my spirit within you and I will cause you to walk in my statutes or in my law, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. We're different people. We've received the spirit of the living God. Right? And the aspects of it. And the living God, I've asked Him, and you pray for Him, and you need to be continuously asking God to grant you and fill you with the Spirit. See, when the Bible says be filled with the Spirit, that is a command, but it's in the present perfect tense, meaning it is an ongoing asking, an ongoing filling. You don't just get filled up once. You got to continue the process of being filled up with the Spirit of the living God. You need to ask. If you ask Him, if you ask your father for a loaf of bread, is He going to give you a stone? Isn't that what Jesus asked? If you ask for this, well, whatever. What did Jesus say? If you ask for the Holy Spirit, then what's God going to give you? The Holy Spirit. When's the last time you humbled yourself? Your heart was broken. You realized you were in a battle you couldn't win. And you went before Almighty God and you asked Him to revive you and to restore you, create in you a clean heart, give you a steadfast spirit, and fill you with His Spirit. Well, don't you think He would do that? Okay? So remember what David prayed. Because he prayed these prayers. Don't cast me away from your presence. And do not take your Holy Spirit from me. You mean God can withdraw Himself from the presence of our life? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And if you and I are not seeking Him, walking in His way, striving to please Him and humble ourselves before Him, there's no doubt. If you draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. But if you draw away from God, He'll draw away from you. Okay? So the Bible tells us very clearly in the aspects of it that you and I need to have the Spirit of the living God fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. I would challenge you. That before you do and this day ends, that you go before God humbly on your knees and you ask Him, Lord, create in me a clean heart. God, give me a steadfast spirit. Don't let me be a waver. God, fill me with your Spirit. Fill me. Fill me. The psalmist said, my cup runneth over. Is your cup running over? Or do you feel empty? Think about it. God masters in that. How about the fourth key is to restore to us the joy of what? You remember when it was you became a Christian? You remember the time? Remember how happy you were? Huh? Do you remember it? You remember how you rejoiced and everybody rejoiced with you? Remember all the time people hugged you and got all wet? Because you were wet. Remember the eunuch came up out of the water after he was baptized by Philip, Acts chapter 8, and the Bible says he did what? He went on his way. What in the world was he rejoicing about? His newfound salvation, knowing that Christ had come and washed his sins away, knowing that he now had become a temple of the living God and the Spirit of God was in him, he went on his way rejoicing. And what did Paul say to the Philippians? Rejoice! And again I say, rejoice! How joyful are you? How happy are you in the Lord? How is your walk? Are you a joy to be around, or are you a burden that people would like to get rid of? Well, I heard about this celebrity, went to the doctor. The doctor said, what's your problem? She said, well, I hurt all over. I have horrible pain everywhere in my body. Everywhere I touch my body, I hurt, I ache, it's terrible. Well, show me, he said. So she touched her. Ah! She went like that. She touched her knee. Ah! And she wailed with pain and whatever. So, well, what else are you hurting? He said, she said, that hurt. I said, well, what in the world? After a period of time, he said, you know what? I really think I know what your problem is. Well, what is it? You got a broken finger. Oh, come on, Anne, it's not that bad. Well, I don't know if there's anything any more painful in a Christian's life than have a broken relationship with the Lord. Do you? Huh? Are you really experiencing the joy that Peter talks about? The joy that's inexpressible and full of glory? Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. That day when I walked that aisle, I don't even remember going down it. I just know I did. I don't remember how much it was when Lowell Grubbs came down and he took my hand and he said, and asked Billy, he said, do you believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God? And I said, I believe Jesus, the Son of God. And he went up in the water and he took me down in the water and he immersed me. All I can remember is when I came out of that water, I knew in my heart there was a joy there that I had never experienced in my life. And I don't want to lose it. It's that joy that gets you through every day. And what David prayed for and asked for and pleaded to God is to renew, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Do you need that? Have you lost the joy? Are you really happy in Christ and the Lord? Joyful about who you are as a child of God and the hope you have. And you share that joy with your husband and with your wife. See, that joy ought to fill your home, hadn't it? Hadn't it? Huh? That joy ought to be seen by people you work with. They ought to be able to. The Bible, the only Bible people are going to read, is your life, your attitude, the way you handled problems and difficulties and whatever. We're different people. We're strange. We're peculiar. You read those words in the Bible? Because that's what it says. So he goes on, he says, restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain me with what? The last key is what? With a willing spirit. You see, your will has got to be here, right? God isn't going to do this unless you want it. And God can't do it anymore to the degree in what you desire it. And if you don't desire it, it's not going to happen. If you desire a little, get a little. If you desire it a lot, if you really have a heart for it, you really want it, you're desiring it, you want God to do this, create in me a clean heart, O God, renew a right spirit in me, don't cast me away from your presence, don't take your spirit from me, God. Restore in me, give to me again the joy of my salvation, and grant me a willing spirit. Now, you see, who does that? Who is he asking for to do that? See, God does this. You can't create in yourself what God only can create. You understand that? Say yes. So, I just want to make sure you do, okay? Because the aspect of all of this is that when you and I think about Jesus, and you remember when he went and looked down on Jerusalem? Remember how he pleaded with her, and knowing that they had taken the prophets and all of God's people and stoned them to death. And he said, how often I wanted to gather you together like a hen would a brood of a chicken and bring you under my wings, and if you was. And he says, you aren't willing. You won't let me. Suppose that spirit can still be alive in people's lives today. Suppose there may be a bridge between you and God right now because your willingness is not what it ought to be. You're not willing, you're not really wanting for God to revive you and to reestablish you. Don't ask me why you wouldn't, because the salvation that Jesus offers you is nothing compared to what this world offers you. Nothing. You understand that? Eyes haven't seen nor ears have heard what God's laid in store for you and me. Don't miss it. And I believe every one of us here today that's in my hearing, especially me, could use some revival. We could use God to re-stimulate, refurbish, make us more alive, make us more exciting, restore to us our joy, make us a little more happier, make us a little more outgoing, make us a little more loving, a little more kind. Huh? Make us more like Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you. I really appreciate all your prayers and your cards. I really do. It revived me. You don't know what you people mean to me and Marilyn. There's nothing like being home. You know what that means? Huh? You know what that means? You know there's another home? You know you're not really home yet? That you're still looking forward to going home? Bible says to be absent from the body is to be at home with the Lord, right? That's what we're looking for, isn't it? It really is. So let's stand together sincerely from the bottom of your hearts, prayerfully. Why don't we sing this song, Revive Us Again? It simply says, revive us again, revive us again. Fill each heart with your love, right? Rekindle within us a fire from above, right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Revive us again. Let's sing it together.